Amen. Good morning again. What a truth, what a promise. It's one of my favorites, has been for many years already, just in first couple verses, knowing that if we dwell there, God is on our side. God is a refuge, a fortress, and a place that we can trust, a place we can abide, a place that we can come to. And that's such a promise. Thank you for sharing, Elmer, allowing God to use you this morning. Again, just want to greet you in Jesus' name. May the peace and mercy of God be here this morning as we look at the Word of God and attempt to encourage you this morning with the Word of God. This morning, I'm going to look at the fruit of the Spirit of peace. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, and so on. Got to look at the fruit of peace this morning. What is the fruit of peace? Again, I shared a little bit the last time about a fruit contains a seed of its own kind within itself. Today we have modified things to the point where we can grow seedless, but that's not the original. And I think we were talking a little bit last time about how seeds are good for you. So it's good to eat seeded, but anyway. Watermelons, for example, you still need to plant with a seeded one so they can pollinate together. And I believe today there's times we need to be pollinated. Do we pollinate each other? Is there times when we don't have peace, and yet when you hang out with brothers, when you hang out with the right people and they begin to speak life and truth, they pollinate each other. We can bring that peace to each other. We can share. This is what I'm going through, and I'm not sure what to make out of it. And you would just begin to share with each other, and God, through the other brothers, through your friends, whatever, they begin to minister to you peace. This is what God says. This is what God did the last time. Remember the last time you went through a trial. Remember what happened there. We don't need to worry. But do we pollinate each other? We challenge each other. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. So there again, is that seed of peace within you? Have you experienced the Prince of Peace? Has the Prince of Peace birthed within you? You can't live peaceably with all men if you don't have peace. And I'm not just talking about getting along all the time, because Jesus, we'll get into that later. If we've been born again, we have this fruit in us. However, we may naturally default to fear because of our life experiences. Do we know where our fruit comes from? If you have a fruit tree, a peach tree, you don't have to make it bear peaches. But you must nurture the root if you want a good fruit. You know, in the day to day, we can spray everything with chemicals and pesticides to try to eliminate some of these diseases, but if you want to grow naturally organic fruit, it's more about what you feed that root system. You can give it probiotics or whatever, you can spray good things on it to help, but if you don't got a good root system, you ain't going to get a good fruit. So first of all, we must have the Prince of Peace if we're going to be bearing the fruit of peace. in our hearts around. And also those who we share with a lot and talk about. And I just love when we can communicate and share challenges with each other, how we can help each other to walk through this. For 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, just because we've been born again, I'm not saying that you're never going to deal with fear again. Even though you've experienced the fruit of peace, there may be a time when you're not feeling that peace. And though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where does fear come from? Why is peace absent at times? It may be because of what you're dwelling on and what you're feeding yourself. What are you thinking on? What is casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? How do you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? We may have a stronghold that needs to be torn down. And that comes only through prayer. It says, the weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need God to pull strongholds down in our lives and to bring these imaginations and every high thing. Peace, the meaning of peace of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort it is. Whatsoever sort it is. That's a challenge for me this morning. I know recently there was a thought shared on the minister chat, or it was in a book of, maybe I shared this, I'm not sure. Jim Elliott's wife, or one of those that was murdered over there. Years later, somebody asked her if she ever got past the why. You know, if why God would have allowed this, and she's like, she would have never thought of even asking. Like, she sees God has a plan. And I'm challenged by that. Why God? Why this? Why that? And yet, when we have peace with God, we understand God's ways. We know what He's about. It's not to destroy us. He is for you this morning. He is not here trying to destroy you. That's the enemy. But peace, if we have peace with God, we will fear nothing from God. And we're content with our earthly lot of whatsoever sort it is. And we're assured of our salvation through Christ this morning. Peace with God, how do we get it? How do we find this peace? What is God saying this morning? What does God desire for you this morning? God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33, but of peace. He is the author of peace. If we're confused this morning, it may be the enemy, because God does not bring confusion. God is clear. God's ways are just perfect. Let's go to Romans 3, 10 to 18. Romans 3, 10 to 18. Again, how do we find peace? You may have to pollinate them. The seed is not yet in them. Point them to Jesus. Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't know what peace is. There's many who have no knowledge of what the peace is. The way of peace they have not known. And because of them being in contact with you, it may just be that you might pollinate them, that they might experience Jesus Christ. And once they do, if they experience the peace of God, it will change their lives. It will change them. Jesus said in John 14:27, I'm already quoted, "Peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The NLT says, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of heart and mind. The world cannot give this." And I was at different times as I'm studying this, the word mine comes up. What do we think on? What do we dwell on? What's in our mind? Romans 5:1-11. Again, do you have peace with God? Therefore, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our peace comes from, being justified. John shared last weekend about, wouldn't it be nice to have an email that we could have that in writing? Well, we do right here. But it's by faith. That's even easier, in my opinion. You just believe it. You don't even have to have it written. It is written here, but it says by faith we have peace with God, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory, of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without sin, without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So we have peace with God by faith. We're justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, not only so, but we have access by faith into this grace. You know, think about in the Old Testament, they did not know what this peace was. They were continuously sacrificing. Maybe, perhaps, I did something. Job, every day, he had to make this sacrifice. Suppose my children sin. And he just didn't have this peace. He's continuously burning sacrifices just in case. Maybe they sinned against God. Maybe they spoke against God. But we can have access to, by faith, into a grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we can rejoice and glory in tribulations also, it says. I know that doesn't make sense, but it's the truth. Rejoice in tribulations this morning. Because God is not against you. He is for you, and he is working a far exceeding greater thing. And that is patience. And if you have patience, experience hope. And if you have hope, you will love God. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's the purpose that God has in bringing us into tribulations, in bringing us into experience, is so that the love of God can be shed abroad in our hearts. And we have peace with God in knowing that. Praise God. Luke 2:15. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I found this somewhere I was looking. Peace is not just the absence of war or chaos, but for the New Testament church, peace means spiritual well-being, completeness, stability. True heartfelt peace is not merely the absence of or restraint from conflict, but a positive, proactive, heartfelt peace yielding to God and of goodwill toward all. Did Jesus bring peace? Was there peace and glory wherever after he came? The angel said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Is that what happened? I mean, not exactly. And yet, I believe he was just saying, if you believe in this Jesus that's here, you will have peace. There will be goodwill toward men. And most of all, there cannot be peace in your heart outside of the yielding to God. There cannot be. We cannot have that peace in our hearts if we're bucking against God. How do we get that peace? It's a heartfelt peace yielding to God and goodwill toward all. There will be times in our lives that nothing makes sense, but I have peace. And then there will be other times when there's no conflict, and for some reason, something doesn't seem right. What is that? Is it God just wanting... God is the author of peace, and if nothing makes sense, but I have peace, that's true peace. True peace is when there's seems to be just a lot against you, and yet you have peace with where you're at. When you're in tribulation, when there's testings, God is working patience in us. It doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always make sense. And yet, we can have peace. And yet, there's times when it seems like everything is going well, and yet there's just a sense of urgency in your heart. It's like, God, what are you about? I sense something in my heart. Something's not right. And yet I don't have conflict, or there's nobody against me at this point that I know of. And yet, what is? God's trying to say something. Colossians 1. We've been going through the book of Colossians in our devotions recently, and I was just so blessed by this book as we read and discussed some of it. This book is full of riches. This book is full of riches. Colossians 1:15-23. I just, one evening we were reading this, I was like, now this is one of the best portions that got to be in the Bible. 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Jesus Christ is that image. He's the image of an invisible God. We never seen God. Nobody ever seen God. And yet Jesus came to show us God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He always was. Jesus was not created. He was begotten. Jesus always was. And he's the firstborn. Whatever that, I don't know exactly, but Jesus was with the Father from the beginning. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him, and all things are for him. And just thinking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's an invisible. He's the visible of the invisible God, the image of the invisible God. And he created all things for himself, you and I. and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the body. Is Jesus Christ the head of the body? Of course. I mean, he's the head of his own body. Why wouldn't he be? Jesus Christ, he is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of the church. Who's the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. He's the first one that was risen from the dead to never die again. All the others died again. All the others had to die again. But he's the firstborn. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's the authority over all. And if we have our faith and our trust in him, he's the authority over you this morning. He has the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Excuse me. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Here again, he made peace by the blood of his cross. That brought peace. The peace of God, goodwill toward men, is open to everyone through the blood of his cross. And he came to reconcile all things to himself. What a blessing this morning. God came. Jesus came to reconcile us to himself. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's never going to die again. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. I guess I'm just amazed. I'm blessed that God, even though we're enemies, we were alienated and enemies in your mind. Your mind. Again, I was talking about the mind earlier. It said something about the mind. What is your mind filled with? What do you think? It says, enemies in your mind by wicked works hath he now reconciled. What a blessing. We're the ones that make mistakes. We make mistakes. Sometimes you wonder why God allowed something, and yet I guess I'm challenged by that. Does he allow it, or did we make a mistake? You know, did God allow my wife to hit that guardrail? I mean, she was driving, right? God wasn't up there. Like, we're not robots. And it's like, I missed that turn. Bummer, I let it happen. No, it was we responsible. But what a God that he would choose to use our mistakes, our failures, and bring a glory to himself. What a God. Alienated by the and enemies in your mind by wicked works, and yet he's here reconciling you through the blood of his cross. He made peace if we receive that in the body of his flesh through death. Look at this, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not removed from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and was preached unto every creature in their heaven. Continue, Lord. Continue with God. Don't give up. Don't leave that hope, that confidence that you have. Don't leave that faith that you're rooted and grounded in. Nobody else would even come close. No other king could even come close to this kind of love that God has for you and I this morning. Nobody. God desires that we have peace with him. And from there, we go, I think you can have peace with each other and still not have peace with God. But what a blessing if you have peace with God and then within you, you have. I mean, there was many years I lived and I had peace for the most part with the people I got along or around with. And yet I didn't have peace with God. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We must let the peace of God be our judge or to umpire or to make decisions for you. When you go against what you have peace, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's Colossians 3:15. No. Yeah, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, there again, if you don't have peace about a certain situation or a certain place you're at, or if you're up against a decision, I know for us a few years ago, I so desperately wanted to buy our farm up there in Dauphin. I wanted to buy the farm. And yet, my wife didn't have peace with it. So we're just like, well, unless we're both at peace, we're not going to buy the farm. And that went on for a while, and then after a while, she's like, if you have peace with it, let's go ahead. I'm okay with it. And then I didn't have peace. Because all of a sudden, I realized that I wanted to. Yet there wasn't no peace. Praise God. Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God be the one that makes your decisions. Let it rule your heart. Paul wanted all people to have peace. I was, as I looked through every book of the Bible that he wrote, I think every letter that he wrote out to the different churches or cities started out with something similar to this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted everyone to experience the peace of God, the peace from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy is grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. And then 1 and 2 Peter is grace and peace be multiplied. These men knew that having peace with God is the only thing that was important. Knowing that they're walking where God wants them to walk. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. We're looking at a fruit that flows from knowing the author of peace. And it's as the fruit is produced, there needs to be the right environment. There needs to be the right input. There needs to be the right, even the proper elements for peace to come. All right, now peace with each other. Now look at a few scriptures here concerning peace with each other. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, excuse me. Finally, my brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Do we live in peace? He says, brethren. So I know it was more than you can't be at peace just by yourself, living somewhere by yourself. That's not real peace. When you experience true peace is when you dwell together, you're together, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of peace shall be with you. There's times when there's conflict, there's differences of opinions, but be at peace, live in peace. Live in peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Paul's final instructions here. I'm going to read verses 12 to the end. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Do we have peace among ourselves? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow after that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. How do we quench the spirit? Do we? It says, quench not the spirit. Is the spirit grieved? And I guess I'm just thinking this morning, what's our thought sitting here? Quench not the spirit. We were enemies of God in our mind. Can we quench the spirit by the thoughts that we have? I think we can. Despise not prophecies. We need prophecy in our day. I pray that God would raise up prophets. Men who are bold to speak the truth. Men who are willing to look dumb or to experience if reproach or like, I mean, we need prophets in our day. Oh, that our sons and daughters would prophesy again. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, through and through. Are you at peace among yourselves? Be at peace among yourselves. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Why does he put that in, and holiness? Follow peace with all men and holiness. I don't know. I guess I wonder sometimes, can we compromise holiness just for the sake of peace? Like, do we at times? Is there times where we'd rather have peace than address the issue? Or what is he saying here? It says, without which no man shall see the Lord. We need peace and holiness. 1 Peter 3. Eight to 13. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that this speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Eschew evil and seek, it says, eschew evil, do good and seek peace and ensue it. That has the thought of persecution, really. That ensuing or pursuing after peace is actually has the thought of being persecuted. Or actually of running hard after persecution. Someone who's persecuting you. I'm not even, actually, I kind of forget how it said now. But it has the thought of being persecuted. Like, run hard. Find peace. Seek it and ensue it, or pursue peace with God. Pursue peace with each other. Pursue peace. In closing, we're going to look at Philippians 4:7, another verse. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God. Let's read before that. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter, sorry. I want four. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with others, fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. How do we rejoice in tribulation? We talked about earlier, knowing that tribulation works patience. Thank you, Lord. God knows what he's doing. God is able. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God passeth understanding. It's not always understood. You're not always able to understand how I can have peace in this situation. And yet, when we have peace with God, it passes all understanding, and it will keep your hearts and your minds. And that word keep is just as you would build in the old times, or around a city, there was this wall built, a fortress. There was a fortress built. Elmer talked about a fortress. God is that fortress. There was a wall built around so that the enemy could not enter. When we have peace with God, it passes all understanding, and it's going to keep our hearts and our minds from the enemy being able to come in and destroy our thoughts. When we are in a situation, we tend to fear Like, what is going to happen? What about this? And what about that? And what if this happens? What if? If we have peace with God and knowing we're where God wants us, then that wall, that fortress, will not allow the enemy. The peace with God will not allow the enemy to come. Peace has the power to keep the enemy out of our hearts and out of our minds. Praise the Lord. May the God of peace rest upon you.